Manaaki tanga. The word manaaki means to care for and support. And for us in Te Ao Māori, from a Te Ao Māori perspective, manaaki tanga means actually in business, it means supporting the whole of the person.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Hello, I'm MJ Ryan, and I am absolutely thrilled and honored to be here today with Stacey, the founder of Ignite Your Gifts, one of our new New Zealand ventures. And I'm really thrilled to be talking to her today about her business and also very much about how she got started doing what she's doing. And I'm going to go right to you, Stacey, to introduce yourself to our listeners and open us with karakia.
Ngā mihi nui ki a koe, MJ. He karakia tātou. E te kaihanga, ka inoi ki a koe. Ke manaakitia mai mātou i tēnei rā. Manaakitia o mātou whānau. Ki ngā kainga maha. Manaakitia e rā e māuiwi ana, e rawe, kore ana, e pani ana. Unihia mai tō mai rangi a te whai ki runga i a mātou katoa i tēnei rā. Ake ake, āmine. MJ, just briefly, I open to thank our creator, our source, that who allows us to show up in the image, and just pay respect to our source in this day and being able to allow us both to share space and common space. And I've asked that our creator, our source, our God looks after us and our families and surrounds us with that kurawai of love and compassion that we need to do our best work. I've put in a good word for those who are a bit heavy, those who might be struggling, those who might be under the heaviness of funeral or death or grief, but also hardship. And so we put in a good word for them and we just ask for covering that light and rays of love bless us all today and for our hui ahead.
Yes, and you always start that way when we meet, don't you?
I do. It is really important part of who we are and who I am and how I show up in the world. And I've got more courageous, I would say, if it's not there to say, hey, can we come back to this, as we've talked about before, and just get ourselves rooted in how we come to be here today and remind ourselves that we are part of and not the part of, the greatest part of.
Yeah. So please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came to do what you do. What is it and what Ignite Your Gifts is all about?
Oh, thanks, MJ. To all the listeners, nei rā te mihi nui ki a koutou katoa. Ko wai au, ko Stacey Heady o Mariro Roberts ahau. He uri ahau no Tauranga Moana, no Ngā Tiawa, whakatohia i te taho o taku māma me taku pāpā. E noho ana ahau i Tauranga Moana, nāianei, no Aotearoa New Zealand. No reira, tēnā koutou katoa. I'm Stacey Mariro Roberts. I am sitting here in my home on the ancestral territories of Ngāti Rangi Nui, Ngāti Rangi and Ngāti Pūkenga, which are the iwi, the collective tribes and mana whenua, the people of the land, from where I stand today. This is also my home on my mum's side, and my dad's tribal affiliations are actually, we say, just down the coast. And so I'm from here through and through, and I'm coming to you live and direct today from Aotearoa, New Zealand. My business, our pākehi, is Ignite Your Gift. And essentially, we're a professional development company, but we're, you know, for the purposes of how we trade and what we say we do. But actually, we're much more rooted than that, in the sense that our whole role, as I said, is to help others ignite their gifts. So we sort of specialize in education, capability development, wrapping mainly around enterprising and leadership. And we do that in really three key ways, and that's advisory, coaching, and mentoring. And the difference that we have and what we bring to the table is all of that is grounded in our unique mātauranga perspective, our Māori perspective. So we have, you know, we are blessed to be rooted in such rich culture, and all of those principles and values, we use that to show up and help people step into their leadership. So that's kind of a summary, but
yeah. Yes, absolutely. I remember reading in your application, this is when I first realized what you did, because you said, you know, leadership development, and I'm like, okay, yeah, lots of people do that. But then you described the principles of Māori leadership development, right? So, and put that in your application. I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. So can you please tell everyone about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not just what we do, it's how we do things.
Yes.
And it's the process and the principles and the values that form the foundation of what we do that is actually the difference to who we are. So we say that your gift is the thing that you do the best with the least amount of effort that keeps you in flow and in alignment. And we know that that gift for us is, there's clues to that steeped in our Māori culture. And there's also clues to that that have universal relevance for the same reason. So as an example, let's say manaakitanga. The word manaaki means to care for and support. And for us in Te Ao Māori, from a Te Ao Māori perspective, manaakitanga means actually, in business, it means supporting the whole of the person to help them show up in the fullness of who they are. And we don't say that they're separate too. So in that sense, our manaaki is to care for and guide those people that we are working with, those individuals, teams, or organizations that we're working with throughout the whole process. So when we say manaakitanga, on the face of it, it's care and it's support. But what that looks like is a little bit different. It's the way we show up for each other. It's the seen and unseen, the tangible and intangible. And it also means that that manaakitanga doesn't finish, for example, when we get off this connection. It means that relationships are everything to us, and that it's not just transactional. We are going to touch base. There's a journey that we follow together as part of our manaakitanga. And it is a structured journey. It doesn't look like it, but it actually is quite intentional. And it's almost like a if this, then that. If we do this, then this will happen. And so it sort of runs a course. So that's an example. Another one is about aroha. And aroha in its most simplistic form is about love. But it's bigger than that. It's about how we treat each other. It's about coming with empathy, coming with compassion. Aroha can also look like being courageous to say something, you know, that might be a little bit sore to our ears or our hearts or our minds, but it actually is coming from a place of love. And so that too is aroha. So those are some examples of those values and principles.
Of course, I'm only learning them as I start to work with you, which I feel very honored to do. And they so are close to my heart, though, because this is exactly how I like, this is what I believe in the work that I do, in the whole person and in coming with love and compassion and the and accompanying somebody on this journey. And so I just feel so, and I know we've felt it together, right? This incredible alignment in terms of how we look at the world and what we're trying to do, right? Together and apart.
Yeah, 100%. I think too, like on that, there is alignment. That word you use, alignment. Mm-hmm. Like it's about getting more aligned to the truth and the nature of who we are. It's not going against the flow of that. And I think, you know, that's why I say it's human in that sense. That we can all have, we all want to feel heard, to be seen, you know, to feel. And I think that when we share that, when we can share some of these principles and the universality of what they can be and mean for everybody, we find that commonality, and then we can build deeper, meaningful relationships. We can start to trust those that might look a different color, you know, look, feel a different, think a different way to us. Yeah, we've talked before about just that kind of common shared language, shared way of doing things. And as you know, sometimes from a uniquely Māori perspective, we have different words that mean so much more. They're so much deeper than the word. Yes. That sometimes even I, in all transparency, can struggle to go, oh, okay, manaakitanga. Oh, customer journey. It's how we treat our people, how they come to us. Like, we just have this word and it means all of that. So sometimes it's also about finding out the nuances of words and thinking, how does that relate back to what we do? And that's quite empowering too, because it reminds us we do that. We do that already, but it has a different word. And we even do it in the same way in some ways, but the way we show up might be a little bit different in how we start, how we hold space, how we acknowledge, all because we know that how we came today is not just to turn on, you know, our microphones or computers or recordings. It's actually everything we've been through, not only this morning when we woke up, but yesterday, the year, and through generations. So it's just bringing all of that to the front.
So speaking of that, you have an interesting history. How did you come to do this? Because your actual training is as a lawyer, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Where to start? As a young girl, I was really curious and quite inquisitive. And it was about the age of 14 that I had an emotional experience, something that hit right into my puku, into my tummy area, into the core of who I am. And that was hearing a narrative that didn't make space and didn't provide space and story for our voices to be heard as Māori Indigenous people in Aotearoa New Zealand. This was roughly over 20 years ago now. But at the time at 14, I didn't really know what I was feeling. I just knew it was discomfort, and I knew it was a yucky feeling. So that caused me to reach out to my whānau historian, the wisdom keeper of our heritage and whakapapa, our genealogical connections. And then part of me wanted to just, I guess, balance what I had heard and just check in and kind of, you know, justify that what I knew was different to what my truth was different to what I was hearing in front of me. So that led me on a journey into our taonga, our rich sort of archives and a treasure trove of special gifts and taonga related to my family. And in that process, I was just really adamant and inspired to pursue education in the sense of studying law and history. And back then, you know, big audacious goal to insert the narrative that wasn't there, to stand in our story and change the world. And on that journey, I knew that I wanted to also learn the law. So I decided to do a conjoint degree, and I did complete those 2 degrees and then went on to do a Master's of Law in Māori Pacific and Indigenous Governance. So I was 17 when I went to university. However, in true resilience and tenacity, I was also a young mum. So I was a teenage mum as well. So that came with a number of challenges, being a young mum, being really ambitious and determined, you know, to pursue this, to educate myself, but actually also go on a lifelong journey of learning. So I graduated with those 3 degrees by the age of about 25, I think I was 24 at that time, and I had a young son. I did my profs and decided to go into practice at a local law firm here in Tauranga and got my grounding in Māori commercial law. So that's the law journey. That's where my roots were.
You trained yourself in Māori law as well as New Zealand legal system, right? So you have both of those strands inside of you. Wow.
That's right. I trained towards, you raise a good point. I never set out to do property commercial law in the sense of land and development and business for Māori. I trained in the sense of understanding the law. And so that led me down a different path of thinking intergenerationally about succession and land and how we show up as Māori in our spaces and also the political climate as well. So it was a fusion of that, plus the environment that we were in at the time was looking at a treaty settlement here in Tauranga. And I was nominated by my family to stand as the youngest person on a PSGE, which is a post-settlement governance entity. So those sort of strands, they actually created me a role, an opportunity in that commercial team, which I moved into straight after I was admitted and finished my thesis.
Oh my God, you're amazing. I already knew that, but to hear the details of it is like astounding. So how did you end up doing what you're doing now? What led you to take a different path?
Yeah, well, it's a different path, but it's connected. Mm-hmm. And I think I just alluded to a little bit of my story, and of course it's much more complex than that. But throughout my journey of study, I was often asked, you know, what are the tips and tools you use to get through study? How do you do it with this young baby, with a family? Mm-hmm. I didn't have a traditional sort of renting, you know, lifestyle or flatting. We had a home and we were renting with this young baby, and I was relentless to study. So I had a whole number of tips and tricks that I was asked to come and share, particularly with other Māori who were studying. And there was like an attrition or a retention issue actually in universities around second to third year. So the time that I was being asked to share more about my story and if I could lend some insights was towards the end of those 2 degrees, so a double conjoint law and history. And so I did, and I was paid for that. And that was, so my first paying client was actually a university. And then I was energized by that. What I realized in sharing with some transparency is that actually it allowed other people to show up and share their challenges. And I had some solutions, but we had better solutions together, all of that. But it really energized me. And I started to get more and more requests. So in the beginning, it was quite ad hoc. Like it wasn't like, here's my schedule, here's my program of speaking engagements. It was kind of on a as I could and when I was available, and not always when it was paid as well, and not in the form of money, which is a concept in Te Ao Māori about koha, that koha is, it might be payment or reciprocity, but it's not always in the form of cash. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the starting point. I would say I had been speaking earlier than that, just as, I guess, motivational speaker, and I was just talking more about my story. But as my career developed and law and then business development, then I started to get asked more and more for keynotes and just the insight side of things, running workshops. So that way it naturally kind of developed. And then I was invited to some international conferences and speaking engagements. And I actually just spoke about it with a friend the other day. It was a conference, actually, when I was heading to Auckland, I was flying up to Auckland, that after that, after the facilitation of that conference and my meeting workshop, I was so energized by it, but I seemed to be having the same messages, and I was writing down those key messages, but I like almost took a stock take. And I sort of reassessed and started to get more intentional about what I was doing. So I started to really advertise and say, hey, I was available. And that started the process. And then it kind of just organically, mm-hmm. and I say that loosely, but really by impact from those who were in the audience might have grabbed a key message or heard something. And then that person would reach out and ask me for the next speaking engagement. So it kind of built like that.
And you have some programming that you've done. Like, where are your audiences typically? Like, I know you did a leadership development track, didn't you? And you have worked for more other universities. So tell me a little bit about like what programming and clients you've been working with.
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity. So about probably 2015, 16, that's when, you know, we really got serious about what we were doing. And I really got serious about wanting to do more past the speaking engagements. Mm. And at that time, I was working a lot with international, more so than actually, and that's a story for another day, but those locally. And I was doing more guest speaking, motivational speaking, keynotes locally, but actually it was deeper internationally, possibly just drawing on that Indigenous Māori wisdom. And so I decided to do a small, when I reflect on it, definitely room for improvement, but we were learning together, a small public speaking course. And that was actually rooted in principles from Te Ao Māori and how we have an oral culture and the way we speak and tone and inflection, that sort of thing. And then I parked that when we returned to a more local focus and built upon really some of those things. I really systemized a lot of those things that I had on a regular basis and gave them more shape and form. And so more recently, and I'm talking 2018 onward, that's when we really started to package not just the speaking engagements, but be more intentional for myself and Ignite Your Gift Wahine Leadership Development. So the core services or core products, so to speak, there are Powerhouse Speakers Business Bootcamp, and the mentoring, the longer term program is Hine Mataro. And so Powerhouse Speakers Business Bootcamp is really, it's a bootcamp. It's fast track. It's fast track your speaking, you know, confidence in speaking, how to show up, how to find your signature message, how to craft that signature message, how to monetize that signature message. And it gets to the core of who you are as a speaker and who your audience is. So that's 6 modules. And that started in small organizations, B2B, small business organizations, and their senior leadership teams. And then it would be more in-house for council and different things like that. What happened after that, and while I enjoyed that work, Māori women weren't being reflected in a lot of those spaces. And so I'd be brought in by a company or an organization or a team, and there might have been 1 to 2 Māori women if I was lucky. And that did something again to me, and I wanted to see more of those people and at the decision-making tables, at the speaking tables. So I wanted to start looking for them and put it out to individuals. And so, particularly over the last 2 years, we've really run cohorts of Powerhouse Speakers Business Bootcamp. We ran 3 last year. We did have an option of a weekend one as well. And that's just a really empowering journey for the women themselves, but personal and professional. So typically they would come to us from their business. They would self-identify, come to us through their business for their professional development. And then at the end of that, you know, in terms of the deliverable, typically they would have the speaking plan and have crafted and shared a signature message. So we provide all the tools in there. It's got workbooks. And one really fun thing that I love about it is actually our icebreakers. So we do an icebreaker every module to get deeper connection and know more about each other. So it's such a journey. And I find that a lot of fun. So that's kind of a 3-week sprint or a weekend. And then Hine Mataro. A mataro, if I could just really quickly, is like, it's a tool, an ancient ancestral tool with wisdom in the tool, in that it's almost like a rake. And the rake allows certain, you know, trapping of certain foods or gardening. And the mataro is about the amount of forks there are in this rake. And the mātauranga, the knowledge that is put into that from a Māori perspective, is the special sauce. It's like that's the uniqueness of how that wisdom has translated to feed whole communities. So Hine Mataro is inspired by that whakaaro of how important the mataro is to be a multi-prong tool. Mm-hmm. And for wahine Māori or wahine generally to have like multifaceted skills to be most valuable. So that journey is about helping them to embody who they are. And it revolves around different whare or houses. And those are everything from our whare tōpito, our purpose, our whare manawa, which is our heart space, our whare whatu manawa, which is about all of our feelings and how that might be dealing with difficult people, for example. That's something we address in that whare. Our whare waha is our mouth, how we speak, and we know that what we say has the ability to grow and nurture things or the adverse. So we try to, you know, bring awareness to those houses. And then our whare hinenaro is about our headspace. It's about our thinking and our reconnection to our ancestors, but also the way we think and our mental health as well. So we go through all of those fuddies, more holistic and much more of a deep dive than powerhouse speakers.
I have to ask right now that you've described your programs. If people are listening and going, well, I want to know more about this. How do they contact you?
Yeah, I think the first place is just to reach out. You can look at the website, which is 120legacy.com. And on there, there's a contact form that you can reach out to us on. We've got the programs that you can email directly, inspire@120legacy.com, or just connect with me, and then I'll be able to send you that proposal and what it includes. There is some limited information, but mainly it's about getting onto our email list so we can send you, yeah, the content, and you can have a look at the schedule.
What's your email address?
inspire@120legacy.com. And the 120 legacy is spelled out.
Great. Thank you. Switching gears, what was it like for you to be selected as a Coralist Venture? What was that whole journey and the retreat and stuff? Do you want to say a little bit about that?
I would love to. Thank you for that opportunity. I was speaking about it the other day for an upcoming magazine, actually, MJ. And I reflected on this process of what it was like. And my journey was supportive. My journey was nurtured. My journey was guided, for want of a better word. And I say that because I had seen that Coralis had put out a number of comms, like emails, and first been on the network and then receiving emails and then seeing some social media comms, which were speaking the same language as me in terms of philanthropic goals and being generous and radically generous at that. And that kind of sparked my attention, had a little bit more of a look into it, saw some like-minded, like values people reflected in some of those, and then with a nudge as well, decided that I would apply. The timing was not ideal for me to apply, and I saw the date and I was like, oh, I was a bit on the fence about it. But actually, I decided to back myself and give it a go, not really knowing, except for what was on the Coralis website, what was involved. So I applied, and I was, you know, and that's why I say it was supported. I found the application process comparatively easy.
Yes.
To do. And it was thought-provoking at the same time, in the sense that it allowed me the reflection time to look back at my business and where I was, and actually answer those questions with, yeah, almost like you set up an environment for me to answer the questions for myself, a reflection point. So I enjoyed it actually very much. So started filling out the application, pressed pause on it, and gave myself a breather and came back to it. And the pause I took was around our impact. And so that really, we have impact. We had it in so many spaces, but we hadn't compiled it in a way that I was able to easily share that with you. And so that was the pause I took. I went and grabbed all of that documentation evidence. I went back over all the testimonials and things, and I just felt really great about that process. So I submitted it. I then had to go away. There's a bit of a pause in that part where the Coralis community reflect on all of the applications and do the choosing, and they get privy to, you know, certain amounts of your information so they can make their decision, which I also love the idea that the community decides. You know, that's another thing. It's not like a bottleneck situation. So yeah, parked that, left it alone, knew there was kind of a date, you'd be notified. I went away actually to Gisborne for another conference of another wānanga, and I got a call from, well, a message actually from Finn, who's the project lead organizer. And I think too, MJ, if I could just say, that did make a difference. That was another touch point in terms of how I was talking about manaakitanga. It was actually that intervention in a very gentle, like helpful way, that allowed me to finish this fin. I'm so learning that as a new venture. I'm learning that very quick, though, that the whole community is like this. So long story short, I get this gentle, can we help you just to do this part and complete the application? And I was again time poor, and it was like a little video. You just submit a 1 minute video. And I hadn't been able, excuses aside in terms of how busy I wasn't able to upload the video that I wanted to upload and that I felt I had polished, you know, what we were about. And so I just did it on the spot at the wānanga that I was at, and I uploaded it and I was showing how to do that. And I believe that was a part that had not that happened, I possibly just would have said, oh, nah, not going to go ahead with it at this time. So I was shortlisted, very gratefully, to join, you know, the Aotearoa New Zealand, plus also the Australian shortlisted semi-finalist ventures. And we got on a group call. I then saw a number of amazing wahine that were doing, changing, you know, the world and solving the world's to-do list, just as I was. And I felt, again, that support. And then we had that process of another kind of selection and announcement of being a venture, which before that announcement led us to a retreat over 2 days. And so I just deepened that impact there. So what was my journey? It was a personal journey of actually taking that time to reflect, but also at the end of that summit, celebrate.
Yeah, well, we're so, so happy to have you as part of our community. I can't tell you how thrilled I am personally. Is there anything else you'd like us to know before we conclude about you or your venture that you haven't had a chance to say yet?
I think what I want to say, and this is just on all the kōrero that we've had this far, is that idea of community. I think what I will say is the journey of being a wahine Māori-led Pākehi business, it's hard. It's a tough journey. And mm-hmm. So there are times where you feel really invigorated and the meaning, the impact that you're having, the transformation that you're having, you can see the impact of it. But then it sort of doesn't stop. So what I found with finding community and community that like values and in a space where you're able to share the same challenges or celebrate the same successes, it's a more enjoyable journey. And I think for me at the time, if I reflect on a lot of the hardship, particularly with deaths that we've had quite close to our family, I was searching for that. And it showed up in a really big way. And so I think what I want to share is, even as an entrepreneur, but also being in business is hard on its own. It has extra challenges when you're Māori or Indigenous and you're wahine. And what I've noticed is the outpouring of aroha or love around the community. That's, it's almost like us too. And I can breathe, you know, I can breathe with some softness, but then still be motivated to get back out and do the work.
That's wonderful.
That's how I'm feeling. And that's just at the moment. That's what I've been sitting with.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.coralis.world.